Amen. It's great to be here tonight. Praise the Lord for that special and what has gone on in the service so far. We're going to be in our Bibles tonight, Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Excited to be able to preach tonight. Continue to be praying for Pastor and Mrs. Tidd while they're away. Pray the Lord will just encourage them while they're gone, be able to hear be at the conference there. It's a big conference there at Heartland this week. It's their 20th anniversary, I believe, big offering and a lot of big things going on with Brother Sam. It's also his last year as president there at the college. So pray for them as they're away. I got to refresh them, bring them back here safely. Excited to have them back here in about a week and a half. I just read a story the other day about this elderly woman who showed up at a local church in the area. And as she walked into the building, there was an usher that saw her, and he greeted her, helped her up the steps. And as he ushered her into the building, he asked her where she wanted to sit. And the lady pointed to the front and said, "I want to sit right there in the front." And the usher looked at her, and he says, "You know, you really don't want to do that. The preacher tonight is extremely boring." And the woman looked at him. She goes, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "I am that preacher's mother." He looked at her, he goes, "Well, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." And he said, "Good," and ran. So hopefully not too boring tonight. Be in Psalm chapter 19 and begin reading there in verse 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Tonight we're talking about for a few moments the key to the acceptable life. The key to the acceptable life. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and God, thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for the privilege to be in church tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I pray for these next few moments as we get into your word together, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds. Lord, that you would be with me as I preach. I pray that you just use me as your vessel tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you Lord, help us to make changes where necessary. God, to be encouraged and uplifted tonight, be able to go out and be the Christians you'd have us to be. Lord, we love you and thank you and ask all these things in your name. Amen. In the Himes household, bedtime is a very eventful time every night as it comes. With five kids between the ages of 2 and 7, it is quite the time. And trying to round up, whether it's our two-year-old twins, or trying to get all the kids to get their pajamas on and get ready for bed, all those things. It's very exciting. If you ever need to see it, you're welcome to come. It'd be kind of weird, but you know, you're welcome and all the same. But as we get the kids ready for bed, we have those things that we do. And one of those things that many of us do is we'll tell a story and we'll pray or we'll sing a song. And the B-I-B-L-E has been a staple in the Himes household ever since Jackson, Peter, especially Charlotte was her favorite when she was a toddler. And we know that song, and we know usually how we sing it with kids as they're learning it. They learn it in our learners' class and in the nurseries and all the junior churches class. That's one of the songs that they sing. And, you know, we'd sing it before bedtime, and we'd sing most of it. And then when we get to the end, Charlotte would yell, "Bible." And then we'd go into "God's word shall never fail, never fail, never fail. God's word shall never fail." And she would always go, "No, no, no." And that was one of the first songs that we would sing together. And we think about other songs that we learn in church and that we'll sing in our house with our children. You think about "Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day," or walk the Bible way, or get the new look from the old book. You know, these songs have simple truths speaking of the importance of the Word of God. And as simple as they are, and as short as they may be, and as few words that they may have, they're songs that we want our children to know so they can understand at an early age that the Bible is a very special gift from God. And it's something that we want them to hold in high regard. It's something we want them to believe in and to look to as they grow older. And we have commands in the Word of God. If we were to look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, we would find some commands given to them on what they are to do with the law and the words that were given unto them. In Deuteronomy 11 verse 18, he says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates." You know, God was making it very clear that the law or his word was to be held in high regard. It was to be looked to. It was to be taught to the children. It was to be something that was that they followed and lived by. And we need to establish the importance of the Word of God in our lives. You know, God made it very clear in his Word the importance of knowing his Word. He made it very clear the responsibility, again, that we as parents have to teach our children about the Word. He made it clear for each and every individual the responsibility that they have to be in it, to know it, to understand it, to meditate on it. It is a command of God to be in his Word. There's something I found in studying. An unknown writer wrote this. He says, this book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's command, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. And every word that God has given us is important. If we look here in Psalm 19, this chapter speaks of God's glory. And if you look in the first six verses, we would see the glory and the creation of God. But in these last eight verses, it references the glory of the Word of God. Some other things, but mainly the glory of the Word of God. You know, the first thing we're going to look at tonight, starting in verse 7, is the value of God's Word. The value of God's Word. Verse 7 through 10, you find there in verse 10, it says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." He was writing there that it's the Word of God, the law, what we've been given, is more to be desired than gold. David knew, just as we do, the value in gold. And David was making it very clear that more than the riches we could gain in this world, the Word of God is greater. The Word of God is more valuable. The Word of God should be looked upon as higher, teaching every one of us. And he not only went there, but he also spoke of something that I think he also held in high regard. You know, David may have been, he's speaking of gold and how the Word of God is held higher than that, but then he also spoke of maybe the sweetest thing that he enjoyed to eat, and he says, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. He goes, it is not only more valuable than the gold you could find in this world, it's sweeter than the sweetest thing you could think of, than the most wonderful and delicious thing you could eat. It is more desirable than that. It needs to be viewed as a treasure. After Hallie and I were married, we got home from our honeymoon, and we loaded up a U-Haul trailer here with a lot of her things. And we were going to head to Oklahoma City to the little rental house we had there. But on the way there, I had some things in the house that my parents owned in Missouri. And I told her we needed to stop and get those things. It's going to be on the way. I need to get my valuables. And she's excited. She has her stuff, and we're able to get my stuff and, you know, hopefully put those things together and be able to furnish a house. And so we get to Missouri. It was late at night. And as we get there, I start bringing out some boxes. And I start bringing out a bicycle and some other things like that. And I could see in her face that she was a little confused at the things that I was bringing out. I guess she was expecting just some fine furniture or whatever it may be, but instead there was boxes of baseball cards. There was a box with my old Nintendo 64 in it. There was a box with a lot of baseball collectibles, toys that I've had my whole life. My mom documented every second of our life, and I have them in boxes. Every cast I ever had. I don't know if she kept my Band-Aids or not, but she kept a lot of things. And there was boxes of all these different things like that. And I could tell by the look on her face that she did not hold value as I did in the things that we had stopped to get. Something I would consider valuable, but doesn't mean she perceived it as valuable. You know, we know the Word of God is valuable. And we can look throughout the Word of God and find verse after verse on how high we are to regard His Word. And the Word of God is the most precious thing we could have in our possession. But just because it is valuable does not mean that it is regarded as valuable to everyone in existence. Just because you may be entered tonight and you would say, yes, it's more to be desired than rubies, it's greater than fine gold, and you could speak highly of the Word of God, just because you know that it's valuable doesn't mean that you hold it valuable to your life. The life that we live and the actions that come from our life really show how valuable we find the Word of God. The Word of God is a precious thing, but are we overlooking it? We look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We know the Word of God is profitable for us in all those different areas. We know those verses. You're here on a Wednesday night. You're here because you know how valuable the Word of God is. But just because we know it doesn't mean that we hold it in high regard. There's some things that are listed here. Five things. And there's five natures of those things and effects of the law of the Lord. We're going to look at together tonight, starting in verse 7. The value of God's word, we see in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's flawless. It is without error. Every word that He has given us is exactly what He had us to have. It is perfect. And it says that the law of the Lord converts the soul. The law of the Lord is used to bring people to Christ, but it's not just that word, that phrase there, converting the soul, doesn't necessarily just mean that. It is restoring to right reason or to a sound mind. Because of what the Word of God says, my response to that truth is going towards that truth, is being turned back to God, being restored in my relationship with Him. The Word of God converts the soul, brings a new life. There's a commentator that spoke of the Word of God, and he said, our life, our Christian life, begins with the Word, and we stay alive by the Word. Our life begins with the Word, and we stay alive by the Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The second thing, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We have the testimony of God in our hands. We have the words, the testimony of a God who cannot lie. And in the world of so many unsureties, we have the sure Word of God. In a world where there's all this the fake news and all the lies and the deception and all the things we find in this world, in a world full of unsureties, we have the sure Word of God. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to look to it and know it's true, to know it's sure. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. Proverbs chapter 2. We have the sure Word of God, and the Word of God is there to guide us. And the Word of God can make wise the simple. You don't have to be gifted for the Word of God to speak to your heart. You just need to be a person in need of Christ and putting your trust in Him and let the Word of God work through you and speak to you each and every day of your life. It can make wise the simple. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10 speaking of wisdom, he says, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. He says, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Verse 16, he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Now, the word of God and the wisdom that we can get from God and from his word can bring great things to our life. It makes wise the simple. We see there, it brings discretion. It brings understanding. It brings deliverance from sin. And God wants us to have his wisdom. God wants us to have the knowledge of his word, and not just to have knowledge of it, but to apply it to our life and to live a life of wisdom. And we can look here in Proverbs chapter 2, and we find Solomon writing to his son, and he says, "There's my son, receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." He wanted him to know the importance of having the wisdom of God. And as he's speaking to his son there, he's telling him, hey, incline your ear to it. He says, cry out for God's wisdom. He says, search for it as hidden treasure. He knew how valuable it was. The word of God can make wise the simple. His testimony is sure. As you go back to our text in Psalm 19, verse 8, next one is the statutes of the Lord are right. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In other words, his statutes or his mandates or his rules are right. You know, God is not wrong on anything. If you live your Christian life and if you read his word, there may be things that may not make sense to you. There's going to be things in your flesh that you can try to read and to comprehend. And as you know you are to obey, it still may not make perfect sense to you. But we can know, even though it may not make sense to us, we know it's right because it's from him. And when we obey God and when we obey him at his word and when we have faith and we trust in him and trust as we obey it, he'll bring those blessings to our life. We know it says that that will bring joy, rejoices the heart. Yeah, I went back as I was studying today and I tried to think about my regrets. I think about things in my life that I regret. And, you know, as I was thinking about times that I regret in my life, there wasn't a single time of regret in my life that I regretted obeying God. As I went back to try to think of my times of regret, none of them included me obeying God in that moment. My greatest joy came in the times of obedience. I've never regretted obeying the Lord. You're never going to regret obeying the Lord. And looking back, you won't be able to find regrets in your obedience to God. If you look back a few chapters in Psalm 16, you'd see he says that thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. As we are walking with him and as he is showing us the path for our life, we'll find in his presence and in that walk with him, we find the joy. The next one, he says, the commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. The end of verse 8. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. His commandments are pure. And as we look throughout Scripture, we're going to find that it's pure and it's clear. It's authoritative. It's not a book of suggestions for us. It's a book of commands that he has given us. And no impure, there is no impure motives in our commands from God. When God inspired his word to be written, there was no impure motives that he had in the words that are going to be written. He goes, man, they're going to have a hard time following this one. God that wasn't a thought that was in his mind as he's inspiring it. He every motive he has in this word is pure and for our benefit, for our good. You know, we could look on throughout our life and we can look as we may try to eat healthier and all these different things on things that are suggested, or we can look on the back of boxes or on the back of bags at the nutritional facts, and sometimes you have to wonder what conspiracy theories are involved in the nutritional facts you find in some of those things. I really think Michelle Obama owns stock in kale, because there's nothing good about it, but it was pushed on every one of us to eat for that time. And we look in the Word of God, and there's no impure motives. Everything that's been commanded to us, every word that we find in the Bible is for our benefit and for our good, and His intentions were pure. Amen. And these pure commandments that we have, as they benefit us, will enlighten our eyes, is what it says. It will enlighten our eyes. Those of us in here that are parents, or those of you that have had parents, you know those times where you tell your children to do something, or you tell them not to do this, or you give them advice to do this certain thing, and it may seem weird to them, and they might not understand it, but you just say, you'll wait and see. See it, and then you'll understand why I had you do this. We care for their well-being, and as we tell them these things, even though it may not make sense to them, they find out, and they are enlightened to why that advice was given or why that decision was made. His commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. His word will bring us to this place of being morally reverent, separate from this world, and living with a godly fear to our Creator. You know, the more that we read about God, the more that we know about Him. The more that we know about Him, the more reverence we will have for Him. And His goodness, and that we know that He endures forever. We're going to keep moving on for time's sake. Last one He speaks of there is judgments. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, what we have in the Word of God is the final decision. It's already settled. It's already written down. And He is immutable. He never changes. So the judgments that we have in His Word are true and righteous altogether. They are forever settled. They are right. They are true. God never gets it wrong. And we can praise Him for that tonight. So if we look in verse 7 again, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. His word is valuable. Do we see the value in it? Are we taking advantage of His word? Do we live our life in a way, as we find in 2 Peter chapter 2, where He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby? We value, we know how valuable God's word is, but do we desire it in that way? Do we long to get into the Bible every day? Do we understand every day as we open it, as we hold it in our hands, as we read it, do we understand the importance of what we can get from it? Do we understand how precious those words are? He didn't have to give it to us. He didn't have to give us His word. He didn't have to give us this guidebook. He didn't have to tell us what He expects of us and what we can get from Him. He didn't have to tell us any of that, but He did. It is a precious thing. Amen. Do we see it as that? There's a man named William McPherson. He was the superintendent of a stone quarry, and as he was overseeing some different things on a certain day, there was a blast that went on that severely injured him. In the blast, he lost his eyesight, and he lost both of his hands. But this man, being a Christian that he was determined to read the Bible with no eyes and with no hands. And he learned to read raised letters with the tip of his tongue. And as God helped him learn to read in that certain way, he was able to read the Bible through four times in that way. I'd say it was valuable to that man. How valuable is it to us? The Word of God is valuable. And the second thing we find in here is the work of the Word of God. Look there in verse 11 very quickly. He says, moreover, by them as thy servant warned. Aren't you glad the Bible warns us? Aren't you glad that the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? And as we are living our life and as we are in His Word, it's there to warn us of things that may get us down. It's there to warn us of the temptation that's ahead, or there to warn us of the decision that we may be about to make not to do it. Aren't you glad it's there to warn us? What a privilege to have that. We look there in verse 12, he says, who can understand his errors? Who can understand his errors? What man can understand the things he has done on his own? We have the law of God. We have the words of God. We have his commands there to reveal those things to us. We can't do that on our own. God has given us a conscience. God has given us a moral compass. But there are so many things in our life that without his word, we wouldn't know if it was what God had us to do or what God didn't want us to do. But we have his word to show us those things. We'll miss things without the word of God. I saw somebody quote something this week. It said, a lost person is going to act like a lost person. A lost person is going to say things that a lost person would say. We can't expect more of that than the lost people in this world. At the same time, a saved person that is not in the Word of God is going to do things that a saved person without guidance would do. We're sinners. God is there and His Spirit is there to guide us, but without the word, taking advantage of the Word He has given us, we're going to make mistakes. Who can understand His errors? We were able to go to a leadership conference in California every year, and Hallie and I, the past 2 years, have stayed in Los Angeles for the next couple days, used some vacation time to stay out there and to see some things, and we wanted to go hiking. So we searched some different places in the area, and we found that not just still close to L.A., we could go and we could hike this four-mile trail up and four-mile trail back down that went up by the Hollywood sign. And it's up in there in the mountains. It's a very quiet place, and you can just see it in the distance from the city. But we started on that hike, and we're going pretty steep ascensions there, and it's hot, and we're, you know, getting tired. And I can see that we are getting closer to the sign. But as I can see that we're getting closer to the sign, I see that the trail is going this way, the opposite way, and it's going down. But to our right, there was a ledge that went straight up the mountain, and then there was just maybe 200 yards. If we went across, we could get to the sign very quickly. And I said, you know, that's the best way to go. That's what we need to do. So we did that. And we're going through the desert sands and those unsteady hills and cactuses and all those plants that we find there. And we get to the top, and we cut over, and very steep as we're trying to get through there. We finally made it, though. We got there, and we took a selfie together behind, I think it was the letter D. We were sitting there, and Hallie goes, I want to go put my head in the O. You go down and take a picture. And I said, that sounds great. So I did that. And so she's climbing there on one of the letters, and I go down about 100 yards in the mountain so I can get her picture there with the sign and her face in the middle of it. And as I'm about to take the picture, we hear, this is the Los Angeles police. You are not permitted to be here. Go down immediately. And that command just continued to get louder and louder. And Hallie and I looked at each other, and we had no idea we were doing anything wrong. And we got down as fast as we could. And as we got down, straight down the side of the mountain there, we get to the bottom, and there are signs all over the place telling us we cannot go beyond that point. I didn't see the signs because I got off path. We had instructions that were very clear, but we missed them. Who can understand his errors? How can we expect to be the Christians that God wants us to be if we are not taking advantage of the direction that he's given us? How can we expect to make a difference in this world as God wants us to? How can we expect to live separately? How can we expect to have the joy of God in our life each and every day if we're not in his valuable word? It also brings cleansing. We know that he is speaking to God here, and he's wanting to be cleansed from his sins and from those secret faults we see there in verse 12. We know that Jesus in his blood cleanses us from all sin. And we need to confess our sins unto him. But we also know that the word of God can do a cleansing in our life as well. If we were to look in Psalm 119, we'd find a verse, "Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way?" And what does it say? "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Do we use the word of God to cleanse us? Do we obey the commands that he has given us and allow that to cleanse our walk and to make us better for him? It keeps us from those presumptuous sins. Look at verse 13. He says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Those presumptuous sins are not the surprise ones. Not the ones that we think everything's fine, and all of a sudden we're tempted or we're provoked and we sin. Those presumptuous sins are those planned ones. Those ones that we may have in secret, and we know it's wrong, we know it's sin, but somehow we still plan it and execute it. You may find yourself in a stronghold tonight. You may have the sinful habit in your life that nobody knows about. But God in his word can help you overcome it. You know, he's told us there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with that temptation make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I what? Might not sin against you. It didn't specifically say the lesser sins or the easier sins to overcome. It says, I hide it in my heart that I might not sin against you. His word is there to help us. He continues to speak to God here. It really gets to one of my favorite verses, and one that I that the Lord, when I was reading this, kind of laid it on my heart, and I studied it, and then he prompted me to preach it tonight. We see the effect that his word can have on us. He's speaking to the Lord there, and he says in verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Our goal every day should be that every word and action, every thought that comes across our heart is acceptable to him. He says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be good to you. May they bring you pleasure. May they be acceptable unto you." You know, as we obey God and as we see his word and as we follow it, obedience leads to more obedience. And our obedience will long for nothing short of being acceptable unto God. As we continue to be in his word and as we look at it and live by it and follow it and hold it as a treasure in our life and hold it as valuable, it will make us long to be more and more acceptable unto him every day of our life. Is that a goal in your heart? I would think, you know, tonight it is the goal. It's something that you desire. But can I ask you tonight, are you living an acceptable life before the Lord? It's between you and God. God knows your heart. As you think of the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart, is your life acceptable right now? Think of your daily decisions. Think of the things that you have to deal with and the circumstances that you may be in or the people you have to interact with. Are you acceptable in those things? Maybe you're going through life right now and you feel like something's missing and you don't feel that joy of God that you once felt. Maybe you're examining your heart and maybe you have that presumptuous sin that no one else knows about, but you do. When's the last time you were in your devotions and you were searching for that treasure that he has, then that wisdom he has there for you, and a sin was revealed to you through that? It's impossible for our words and our heart's thoughts to be acceptable if we're not in his word. If it's not there to guide us and we're not holding it high and learning more about Jesus every day of our life and striving to follow this book, we're not going to be acceptable before him. It is not successful apart from his word. You may be in here and you say, you know, why is it not acceptable? Why am I failing? There's a good chance you're not in the word. Do you value the Bible? You know, I've seen the Antique Roadshow a few times. And one thing I enjoy about that show is you go on there and you see these people bringing these, it looks like garbage a lot of times, and these auctioneers or these appraisers will say, tell them how many thousands of dollars this thing is worth, and these people are shocked. And as you watch it, you as well are shocked. And it's a fact that whatever that is worth that much money, but those people didn't value it as that, and I certainly watching it don't value it as that. I believe every one of us that are in here tonight know how valuable the word is. But just because we understand the fact that his word is valuable doesn't necessarily mean that we value the word. We understand the value of his word, but do we value the word? When we still lived in Georgia, I was building Peter a clubhouse for his third birthday. And I'd never done anything like that before, and it kind of sparked an interest for all those things in me right now. I still enjoy doing that kind of stuff. But I remember building that, and I went and bought all the supplies, and you know how it is. You start a project, and you end up going back, you know, 5, 6, 7 times to keep getting more and more stuff because you think you have it, but you don't, and you don't want to buy too much. But it was getting down to crunch time, and I'm trying to get the deck on, and I'm trying to get the walls on and secure this thing, and I run out of exterior screws. And I knew I needed exterior screws. We lived in a very humid environment. There's a lot of rain, a lot of just moisture in the air. And if you leave something outside, they would mildew. And I knew things, it was a very humid area. But getting down to crunch time and knowing I had a lot of interior screws that were the right length, I decided to go with that anyways. And as I went with that, we had a great party. They got done in time. And he was excited to see his treehouse. A few weeks went by, and I was out doing some work in the yard, and I go out there, and I see one of the sides that's already fallen off the treehouse, and that's weird, and I go over there, and I see a screw had broken, rusted out, and it was no longer any good. So I go around the treehouse, and I start to pull on boards and go on there on the deck and pull some of that up, and not to my surprise, because I knew about every screw that I used that afternoon was no longer any good after just a few weeks. You know, I understood the value in exterior screws, but I neglected to value the need for exterior screws. We understand how valuable his word is. But sometimes, and many times, and maybe you're stuck in this position, even though you understand how valuable it is, you don't value his word. Are we taking advantage of his gift, or are we taking it for granted tonight? Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are the words of your mouth and meditations of your heart acceptable? If not, take advantage of his word. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. There's no musical invitation, but the altar's always open. We ended with this question. Is your life acceptable? Or as you examine your life, are you finding some things missing in it, not being what you hope it to be, not being what you know it should be? If it's not, it's most likely there's a good chance that you're not in his word. If we truly value it, we'll take advantage of it. Are you living the acceptable life? Lord, we love you, and God, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you've made it very clear to us the importance of the Bible. And I pray tonight that as we're leaving here, God, we're leaving with maybe a better understanding of how we are to hold your word high. Lord, maybe just a better understanding of the use that we should make of your word. And I pray no matter what the decision may be, no matter where our heart is at, I pray, God, that we're leaving just with an understanding of the need to value you and your word every day of our life. Lord, I pray that as we value it, we live by it. I pray as we value it, we take advantage of it every day of our life. Bless us as we leave. Bring us back safely to our places on Sunday. We ask all this in your name.